This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And I've got a story to share. And if my family is listening, I hope you'll forgive me in advance for sharing it.
Uh-oh.
I know. It's not, okay, so it's not that bad. But as listeners know, you, Anthony, are a father.
Indeed.
And I am a mom, and my daughter is almost 2 years old. And about 8 months ago, she kind of went through this phase where she was biting a lot, mostly biting her dad. Have you ever experienced anything like that, Anthony?
Not biting. The big challenge of raising a baby was how to deal with, well, pooping in the bathtub.
Also, an unsavory thing to have to deal with. Well, in our case, my poor husband had tiny teeth marks and tiny bruises on his arms for a period of a while, and it wasn't something I really wanted to call the pediatrician about. And my own mom, who was my go-to source for parenting advice, she lives 3,000 miles away and happened to be on vacation during this period. So I'll admit, I looked for advice on the internet, and specifically at a mom's listserv group.
Was it helpful?
It was, because first I discovered that I wasn't the only parent who'd ever gone through this, kind of obvious, but a huge relief. And people also shared tips on what to try next time my daughter sank her teeth into my husband. But mostly, as I mentioned, the enormous reassurance was that, yes, this too shall pass.
It's true. We've used these listservs in our family. We've used them to find baby gear, to sell baby gear, to get information about child care centers, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so they're really useful and very powerful. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, most people that I know who are parents of young children have at least turned to these sources for at least one time, if not more. And that's one of the reasons why it's the subject of a recent Boston Globe magazine story about the influence and growth of the so-called mom networks out there, and whether or not digitally connected parents are really using their online power wisely. Melissa Shore wrote the article, and she's a regular contributor to the Boston Globe magazine. She joins us in the studio now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Meghna. Thanks for having me.
So we're talking about mom networks, mom listservs. There are many of them around the greater Boston area, all over Massachusetts, actually. And we're joined also by a couple people who are connected with them. Christine Coe is one of them. She's the founder of Boston Mamas, an online portal for parents in Boston, featuring product reviews, parenting advice, and she's got a Facebook page with almost 3,000 likes. Christine Coe, welcome to you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you. We're also joined by Michelle Ahouse. She's a moderator for the Somerville Moms listserv. Includes over 2,000 members, moms, dads, and expectant parents in the Somerville and surrounding communities. Michelle, welcome to you.
Thanks so much.
Okay, it's great to have everyone here. And, you know, as I mentioned, full disclosure, I happen to be a member of a mom's group, mom's listserv in my hometown, and I have used it a couple times for advice. But Melissa, let's begin with you. Tell us how these networks work. Who joins? Why do they say they join? How prolific are they?
Well, I think if you think about the growth of this mom network, I mean, a generation ago, you know, think of our poor moms. If they had a question in the middle of the night about their baby, you know, who could they turn to? Maybe their own mother, maybe the pediatrician, maybe a neighbor or a friend. But really, they had no one else. Today, you can flip on your laptop, even in the middle of the night, post a listing, and you can get 2,000 moms' opinions. And some of them you can get back, you know, instantly or very quickly. So it's really a great change. It's an amazing power to tap for moms today.
And what kind of questions or advice are people seeking when they go to the groups?
I think it can be a little of everything, like you talked about. It can be, what is the best stroller to use? It can be, how do I help sleep train my child? It can be, I have a great nanny that I have to, like, you know, that is leaving us and looking for a new job. It can be a little of everything. And it doesn't have to be parent-related. I think one of the great deals of the, a Somerville Moms list group is that they allow off-topic remarks. So you can just ask, I need a good plumber, and get 2,000 moms to give you their input. And the great thing about the listservs is that they're very locally based. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's obviously national parenting boards, and there's local cities within those boards. But there's nothing like the hyper-local recommendation of the mom around the corner who's like you, knows where you live, knows the best restaurants in town, knows the best plumbers, knows the best everything you're going to need right where you are living.
And the other thing about what makes this sort of a unique moment in parenting history, I think, is what you mentioned in the article, that moms especially, you know, women who are parents, are really digitally connected. I mean, on average, they have some I was reading 5 internet-connected devices in the house. They check Facebook more than 4 times a day. Yeah.
That shocked me, too. I thought 4 times a day, more than dads and more than even teenagers, you know, you wouldn't think that. And I think half of them all, of the mom, around half of them who check online social media sites do it several times a day. So, you know, I think 5 years ago, it sort of seemed like a luxury for a mom to have a smartphone. Why would you need to be that connected? But now it's just normal. It's the new
normal. It's a parenting tool, in fact, the new normal. Yeah. Well, listeners, we are talking about the growth and influence and power of the mom network of digitally connected parents. And in this case, specifically mothers. And when they join listservs all around Massachusetts and the power that they affect, whether it be through giving each other recommendations or maybe even changing the way businesses reach out to parents. Have you joined a mom's group or a mom's listserv, or do you check online for parenting advice? What do you see there? And why did you join? And do you think there's any downside for people who are exchanging so much information and maybe product recommendations? Do you wonder if the advice that you're getting is advice that you can trust? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment, of course, online at radioboston.org. Christine and Michelle, let me come to you here. Christine, you're the founder of Boston Mamas. What made you want to found a group like this online?
Yeah, you know, in my previous life, I was actually an academic for 10 years, and I was finishing up my postdoc locally at Harvard, MIT, and MGH. And, you know, I was just... at that time, you know, I was so research oriented. I, you know, had a baby, and you know, people knew I always researched things ad nauseum. And so my friends would always be asking me for recommendations. And at one point, I figured, you know, I see a hole here in the city. There are lots of great calendar sites, but I didn't really see a kind of all-in-one lifestyle parenting portal. So I just decided to start it as a repository for all this information I was collecting. And it was just sort of shocking how what the response was and how it took off, and you know, how people were really interested in getting this mom-to-mom information.
And they were interested in getting it from Boston Mamas online. Is it because they felt like they weren't getting it anywhere else?
You know, I think there's certainly something to be said, you know, hyperlocal. You know, back when I started it, you know, 6 years ago, there wasn't really a lot happening like that. And I think it was, you know, people who had found the site would say, I'm so glad there's finally something like this. And, you know, I suspect also the fact that I had, you know, a PhD kind of gave me a little bit of credibility. I wasn't just kind of writing, you know, off the hip. So, you know, I was putting a lot of thought into what I was writing, and I think people saw that and could really see that in the writing and appreciate that. Mm.
Michelle Ahaus, you're a moderator for Somerville Moms, a really active and influential listserv, 2,000 members. And in fact, before we get to why it is that you decided to join and what you gathered from it, Melissa, in the Boston Globe magazine article, sort of related a story about the power of the Somerville Moms group in terms of the way it got the YMCA to change how it operates. Can you tell us that story?
Sure. It was one of our members, actually, that Melissa cited back in July, I guess, of 2010. And within, I don't know, an hour after she got back from the YMCA in Woburn, where she was told she couldn't breastfeed her child in the child watch area. She had 3 children at the time, 2 older children and then a 3-month-old. And one of the staff members there said that by breastfeeding, she was breaking the no food, no drink policy inside the child watch area. And obviously, you know, she was totally frazzled, taken off guard, you know, mentioned, you know, this is illegal. I should be able to do this. So after it ensued at the YMCA, she came back and posted her experience on the list. And with minutes, there were posts flying back and forth, supportive posts, posts saying, you know, you need to take action, you need to speak with the director, you know, just next steps. And it evolved over time to, you know, write an open letter. Here's connections to local media, you know, folks need to know. but it was also supportive of, you know, make sure you give the YMCA a chance to do right by you as well. So it was this amazing outpouring of support. And in the end, you know, the YMCA got a lot of calls, but they rectified it. They agreed to train their employees on, you know, what's acceptable and what's not, and so it was really positive support for the woman and for the organization as well.
It's a kind of an amazing story because from what I gathered, you can imagine a time where none of this would have happened if a listserv where people could connect so quickly didn't exist.
Yeah, and people were sharing, oh, I had a similar experience actually at that same place or a similar experience somewhere else. So there was this mini group, subgroup formed as a result saying, hey, well, we can do something about this so that other people don't have to go through this, other moms don't have to go through this.
Mm. And so, Michelle, I mean, that's a story of the power of listservs such as this, or even, I should say, online groups more generally, to get you know, women and families to come together to act. What is it that drew you into the Somerville Moms group to begin with?
I had heard about it from a downstairs neighbor who had had kids, and when I was pregnant with my daughter, and you know, always looking for baby gear or advice. You know, my mom lives in the next state over, so she was close, but I think there's also this sense of someone who's going through the exact same thing right here, right now, down the street, that just drew me into it. So it was this consortium of moms and dads who, you know, there was 9 of us who were all pregnant and due within, you know, 3 weeks of each other. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from soup to nuts through pregnancy and beyond, you know, we could get together and really commiserate. And is my child doing this? Is your child doing this? Were you up all night? So it offered that sounding board and that air of, okay, this is normal.
We're talking about the influence and growth of online parenting networks, specifically those mom listservs and Facebook pages where women come together and exchange parenting advice and possibly even opinions on great products or good daycare, and the real difference that sort of interconnectivity has made in how people parent today. So call us with your experiences. Do you belong to any one of these listservs, and has it been a great experience, or maybe are there aspects of it that you wonder about? Specifically, is it a chance for marketers to get close to you? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Melissa Shore, let me ask you, when I first had my daughter, my mom was able to come and be with us for a month, thank goodness, because instantly, as soon as she was born, I was overwhelmed with the realization that this was going to be the hardest, scariest, most overwhelming, fantastic, nerve-wracking, great job of my entire life. It was overwhelming, but then my mom left, and she went back home. And I suddenly, I mean, my husband is amazing, but in terms of like what it means to be a parent, I felt rather alone until I bumped into one of these listservs. This idea that we're recapturing a sense of mutual experience and advice that maybe our own parents didn't have, but we did have 100 years ago or 200 years ago. That seems to be a lot of the fact that it draws a lot of people into these groups.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a sense of community. I think people make friends in the real world, offline. I think it's interesting that, you know, these listservs, if you look at the Somerville Moms and also the Garden Moms, they're actually celebrating their 10-year anniversary this year, which I find really fascinating because it listservs in a way do seem sort of like a little bit of a dated technology. Why are we still using them now when we have Facebook and texting and everything else? And yet there's something that still really connects people. And even though, you know, the women who started it 10 years ago are sort of aging out and probably don't have young kids anymore, new women keep coming and joining and they're finding something they need.
Christine Coe, is that what you've sensed from your Boston Mama's site, that people not only find what they need, and it's anything from, you know, the big questions about, you know, how do I get my child to study harder, or, you know, what kind of clothing should I buy? I mean, how much does the actual sort of marketing aspect come into what people are doing online?
Well, there's plenty of that. There's just one comment I wanted to make regarding the power of these online communities. And, you know, one thing that struck me is that I think, you know, not only are people feeling, you know, alone, you don't have your immediate village, your mother leaves, and you're devastated, but I think there are so, you know, the images of parenting that are projected in the media are ones of perfection. And I think that internet wall. You know, you don't have to get dressed. It's there for you anytime. And that level of, even if it's not full anonymity, it helps you let go of this concept that you need to be perfect and that your child needs to be perfect and that, you know, you can sort of confess that biting happens and that you find out a million other people have kids who are biting. So I think that, you know, that's a real visceral power of, you know, why this is working for people. You know, from the marketing angle, absolutely. When I started the site, I was just kind of doing my own thing, sharing things that I thought were, you know, great or handy or useful, or had saved time. And it was really just within a month or two, maybe, that I started getting pitches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for people trying to get products in front of moms. And, you know, now, this is 6 years later, I would say, you know, thousands of emails a week my inbox is flooded with people trying to get stuff in front of my audience. It's a little bit crazy.
And it's something that you have to protect against. I mean, Michelle, jump in here because, you know, my understanding is that, as Melissa wrote in the Globe magazine article, that women are in charge of a vast majority of household spending. So, of course, businesses would love to convince moms, hey, buy my product. That makes listservs and Facebook groups potentially, you know, a minefield. So how do you protect against it becoming a place where commerce is sort of what's going on rather than community?
Yeah, I mean, for Somerville Moms, you know, we're closed to individuals who seek primarily to just promote events or services or products or to use them for marketing. That being said, as moderators, you know, if we get emails in asking, a lot of the universities will say, hey, you know, we're looking for participants in our child care study, or our child psychology studies. Would you forward this along? Or there's a great event that's targeted at families. Would you forward this along? So we serve as kind of gatekeepers to that, for any direct outside contact. But speaking for the power of moms and the power of women, I mean, one question gets asked, you know, what brand of diapers do you like the best for overnights? You know, what stroller is the best if I'm going to be a runner? My child has a flat head. You know, I just went through this. My child has a flat head. He's, you know, laying on his back too much. What can I do to make this better? And, you know, within 10 minutes, you know, 15 posts, get the Boppy Noggin. My child has a perfect round head again, you know, and there I am on Amazon 2 minutes later ordering a Boppy Noggin for, you know, next day delivery. But it's this I've used it, I believe in it, and I'm going to share it with others mentality that, you know, moms are passionate about. As Melissa speaks to in her article, you know, for better or for worse, you get a product that you have a bad experience with or a merchant that you have a bad experience with, forget it.
Melissa, your thoughts
right
on that?
Right, I wanted to agree. I think that moms trust a fellow mom when they know she's not marketing to them more than they do a marketer. And there's incredible power in that. I mean, the owner of the chain Magic Beans told me, yes, if someone posts on a listserv, this stroller is fantastic, we will see a rush of orders into the store. People listen to that advice. On the flip side, you know, I did worry and I did sort of say there is a little note of caution in this power we have. I mean, you have one bad experience and you go home and you post it to your listserv and you can really destroy a business. You can damage a reputation. One of the examples I gave in the story was when Pampers last year introduced this new diaper with Dry Max technology. You know, a group of moms, this happened not locally, but they thought that the diapers were giving their babies diaper rash, and they put up a Facebook page, got a lot of attention, and they really sort of tanked that product. And even though the company lined up their diaper scientists swearing up and down that the technology was safe, you know, once the word had got out and the moms had kind of decided, they trusted moms more than they did the company.
I'm going to get to some calls here in a second, but on that point, Melissa, the other potential, I'll call it a potential downside because I've personally experienced this own challenge in my own life, is we're talking about parents and their children. I mean, people aren't exactly objective when it comes to their kids. So you quoted someone as saying there's the danger of a, quote, social media lynch mob at times.
Right.
Okay, well, we've got a lot of people who have a lot to say about this, so let me bring them in. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's start in Somerville, where Christine is calling. You're on the air, Christine.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a mom, and I'm also a member of the Somerville listserv, and I have found it incredibly helpful for a variety of things. I think the note of caution that I want to sound is that there, you know, it's information, and it's information just like other pieces of information, and how you have to integrate it and do some fact-checking and I think there was a post last year that I found sort of concerning where a mom was posting to see if anyone's child had chickenpox because she wanted to expose her child to chickenpox in order to avoid a vaccination. And I think that everyone's entitled to have their opinion, but I think, again, that it is, we are all just parents, you know, none of us are experts. And to really just note the caution of taking the information but then fact-checking it somewhere else or with a pediatrician. And like you said, it's a powerful group, but it's not the only source of information.
Christine, thank you so much for your call. Michelle Ahaus, let me just respond, allow you to respond to that. I mean, there's no claim ever on any of these listservs that it's a place where experts abound. But on the other hand, as Christine was saying, people should, do you advise people to, you know, not use it as the ultimate resource?
You know, we have a general overview that's, you know, take what you're getting almost with a grain of salt and make sure that you're respectful of other people's opinions, and this is a place for people to share other opinions. So I don't, you know, I often posts will be responding, you know, my child has 104 fever and, you know, the doctor's telling me I should be fine. You know, what do you all think? And people will respond back with, you know, I'm not a doctor, but X, Y, and Z is just going around and my child just went through this. So I think, you know, there's definitely controversial, especially when you get into the vaccine side of things, as the last caller mentioned, or different things that spark discussion, spark debate. But I, you know, I think just as anywhere, if there's a quorum of opinion around it, people give it a little more weight. But we're all rational human beings who can sort through, you know, the good, the bad, and, you know, the true and hopefully the untrue.
Christine Coe, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, since my site is kind of runs in a magazine-type format, you know, although we're all, I and my writers are all parents, you know, I do, on my disclosure page, I have a pretty extensive disclosure about how, for example, I handle marketers and how, you know, to just really take the information, you know, and as the caller Christine astutely mentioned, you know, you have to take the information in and see where it aligns with your own values and your own, you know, interests, and then go from there. So I've found that, you know, having a clear disclosure page has been particularly helpful, and it was particularly so when all the FTC stuff around product reviews and things came up a year or two ago.
Right. Let's take another call here. Rachel is also calling from Somerville. You're on the air, Rachel.
Hi, I just wanted to make the comment that I think being a first-time mom is inherently an extremely lonely place to be. And when I joined the Somerville Moms Listserv, it really helped me just feel like I was not alone. I was terrified a lot of the time, and it was a really useful tool just to normalize some of the anxiety I was feeling. But ultimately, the other point I want to make is it's a nice thought that people can remain rational about things like breastfeeding and vaccines. But I actually had to unsubscribe. I found it really overly dramatic after a while.
Rachel, thank you so much for your call. Melissa Shore, you raise a question in the article about the fact that you have so many people who are so passionate about a similar topic, their children, who are coming together in a meaningful and effective way. That has all the makings of a very powerful political group or an action group of some kind. And yet it seems that so far, these mom listservs or mom Facebook pages haven't really ventured into sort of community action too much. And why do you think that is?
You know, it was something that really bothered me. I was looking and looking for instances of where moms really flex their muscle in using this network. And, you know, I did find the instance of, you know, the breastfeeding, and I found the instance of, you know, making sure the MBTA didn't ban strollers, which was a big issue that came up a couple years ago. But I just didn't feel like I found that many instances, or the issues just seemed sort of small. And as I wrote in the article, you know, this is no Occupy Wall Street. You know, moms, I think there's a couple of issues. I mean, one is we're just so busy, whether we're working or stay at home. As one woman said, you know, I can't go march on Washington. I have to get the kids to camp. You know, it's just not going to happen. And the other thing, obviously, is just because we're moms doesn't mean we have any consensus. We may not agree with our fellow moms on any listserv politically what action should be taken. But, you know, doing the article did make me sort of long for, you know, a little bit a better showing. If we do have all the passion and the time to, you know, zap out a Facebook posting about our favorite, you know, brand of Cheetos or whatever, like, we should have a little time left to explore you know, something more socially meaningful. And you know, if callers out there have exams that I missed, I would love to hear if they're out there.
Melissa, to jump in there, actually, with the there was a lot of really good discussion with regards to the recent Walmart you know, opportunity within Somerville. And there was definitely, I mean, it wasn't a full consensus one way or the other. There was definitely a lot of people on the absolutely no Walmart in Somerville. We don't want any part of them. And it was actually, for reference, it was a Walmart grocery store. It wasn't the physical goods store, if you will. And then there were probably equally, you know, number of parents, because we are open to moms and dads, who, you know, who said, wait a minute, let's look at the issue from the side of affordable vegetables. Not everyone can afford organics at Whole Foods.
So politics or I guess differences of political opinion do sort of seep into these conversations sometimes. But on the other hand, it seems like the power and influence and connectivity of these groups continues to grow. We just got the conversation started here, listeners, so would still love to hear what you have to say at another website, radioboston.org. Melissa Ahouse, Michelle Ahouse, moderator for the Somerville Moms Listserv, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Christine Coe, founder of Boston Mamas, also great to have you as well.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
And Melissa Shore, contributor to the Boston Globe magazine and author of the article Don't Get Mommy Mad, which appeared recently in the magazine. Thanks so much as well.
Thank you.
Well, stay with us because coming up, scientists are concerned about a new strain of flu virus that's killing seals off the coast of New England and could be spreading to humans. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.